Okay, guys, and welcome back to Classic Camera Revival, and this is our August 2016 show.
Coming to you live from Toronto, Canada, this is the Classic Camera Revival. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you certainly will after listening to our show.
Now, earlier in the year, we posted a link to 22 vintage cameras that everyone should buy. And while we agreed with most of the cameras on the list, we thought, you know what? And after suggestions from people, we decided we're going to put together our own list of cameras. And we're going to come up with only 20 because there's four of us, so that makes it evenly split between five cameras each. So let's go.
And the rules are 60 seconds each, and then we'll have a little ding at the end.
Okay, so here we go. Now, this is going to be a little bit different from past episodes because each person will have about a minute to explain why they think this camera should be on the list. And we're not actually going to review the gear itself because a lot of times we might not even have the camera in our possession. So it's going to be a complete and total round table. So we are going to start with John.
Okay, my first camera is the Nikon N90S, depending what country, also the F90. The reason why you should give this camera a try, it is criminally undervalued on the market. You get a body for $50. It has active matrix metering, the first camera that did. It works with autofocus lenses. It feels like an F4. It has great ergonomics, great to look at, a real bargain. You should get one.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off with the underdog of the medium format world, the Contax 645. Simply put, it is a stellar piece. I mean, it has one of the brightest viewfinders that you could ever find. Plus, let's face it, Zeiss optics. I mean, sure, there's other ones that take Zeiss optics, but the Contax 645 is one of the most modern cameras in medium format that you can get, and they are absolutely a peach to look at. They're amazing to use, and there's a reason why some of the world's best wedding photographers swear by them, use them today, and will never probably use anything else but them, save for the digitals.
Okay, today I'll be talking about the Olympus OM2. It's small, it's compact, it's light, very easy to use, very easy to load. Different lenses that you can put it in a bag, and take it away. Good to go.
Okay, so my first pick for this list is the Nikon F2. Now, this is a professional camera from the 70s. It's built like a solid rock. You can take it through the zombie apocalypse. You can document it, and it will survive. It takes all sorts of Nikon AIS glass, super sharp, and there are just so many of them out there, and they're mechanical, so they'll work even if you don't have a battery. Yeah.
My next camera is the Pentax Spotmatic. I'll use the Spotmatic F, but there's SP 500, 1000. What's good about this? Built like a tank, very, very cheap, especially if you find one that, like, the meter assembly is a bit fragile, but you don't need a meter. Completely mechanical. This Pentax Takumar lenses, focused like butter, the most beautiful feeling lenses you've ever had. A generation of people who did photography like in art school or as a hobby used Spotmatics, grew up with them. There's a reason they're so popular. It belongs in your bag.
Yeah, plus the full range of M42 lenses everywhere. So I'm going to quickly talk about the Canon F1. Everybody knows the Canon F1. It is coveted by thousands, probably hundreds of thousands around the world. It still holds its value today. Now, one of the big things about it that I really love is when it was released, Canon made the big mistake when they released the Canon RM or the Canon Flex. They didn't have enough accessories. It was like two lenses. When they released the F1, they had a full plethora of everything. And I mean everything. A 250 frame back, blah, 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 blah. No, why you should own this camera? It is a tank. It is literally a tank. You look at this thing and you just know it will last forever. It is just beautiful, easy to use, and will, yeah, last forever. That's my main key, last forever.
My second pick is the Canon T90. It's built very well, very easy to use, easy to load. It's a good first starter camera. If you're looking for a really good camera and you don't know where to start, I would really recommend the T90. Works well in the cold, so that's another bonus for here in Canada. Works well in the summer, easy to use with gloves. Lenses, again, interchangeable, very easy to use, focuses well. Images are perfect. Love the camera, great, we really recommend it.
Okay, and next up, I have another Pentax entry and another 645 entry. That is the Pentax 645. This is probably your best way to get into medium format photography on the cheap because everything's built into it. You have your winder, your meter, your viewfinder. It looks and feels like every other SLR. Plus, you have the original manual focus models. Plus, you have two gorgeous autofocus that have a meter that will rival the active matrix metering of the F5, the F4, and the FA. Since they are even less known than the Contax one, you can have them on the cheap. And the best part is, if you want to spend the lots of money, you can even use those lenses on the new digital Pentax 645s as well.
Okay, my next is the Rolleiflex. Like, do I really have to say it? But the Rolleiflex, it's a definitive camera for the twin lens reflex. You owe it to yourself. If all you've shot is, let's say, 35 millimeter or another format, you deserve to try the 2.25 square twin lens reflex. Amazing glass. The planar lens is amazing. Zenitar is amazing. Even the less expensive Zenar, or the, if you go back in the day, the Tessar lenses are really great. Really usable. They're fun to shoot. If you go out with a twin lens reflex like the Rolleiflex and shoot, people will come up and ask, and they'll take an interest in you, in what you're shooting. You'll probably hear a story of saying, I used to have a camera like that. So a camera that will help you connect to people and is really fun to shoot and deliver top-notch results. Hard to beat a Rolleiflex.
Okay, well, the next one on the board that I've got sitting in front of me, we were speaking about the M42s before because of their wide range of accessories. Well, the next one on that docket is actually the Exacta. They have a ridiculous amount of accessories for this camera. I mean, everything from micro photography for it, waist level finders, a huge, insane amount of lenses made by so many different manufacturers. You can't go wrong. I mean, you got Steinhal, you got Zeiss, you've got Topcon, you've got Soligor. The list goes on. I mean, even Schneider was making lenses for this thing. It is just incredible. Now, ergonomically, probably not the best ergonomically, but they are a beaut to look at. And the best thing I think about it is left-hand photographers. This camera is based off the left hand for use. It is left hand shutter release, left hand advance for the film, right hand for focus. It's actually not that difficult to use, and for some lefties out there, they actually find it a little bit easier to use because since they are left hand dependent or dominant, they can use it a bit easier. So hey, what can I say? Exacta, way to go.
Okay, next on the docket for me is the Bronica EC. Bronica is an extremely well-liked camera. It's very easy to use as well. It is a little bit heavy, but it's a really great medium format camera. Very inexpensive compared to a lot of those other medium format cameras that are out there. And it's also great for weddings or birthday parties or things like that. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so I have another Nikon mechanical model, and that is the FM series. That's right, the M stands for mechanical. These are beautiful, compact cameras that are easy to use with a sharp, dead-on accurate meter and a really bright viewfinder, and they accept AI, AIS, and even D-type lenses from Nikon, and they're basically usable everywhere because you don't need a battery. The battery just drives the meter. And you have, again, the freedom of choice. You have the FM, the FM2, the FM2N, upwards of the FM3N. I would just avoid the FM10 because it's plastic and not actually an icon.
My next camera is the Mamiya RB67/RZ67. RB stands for revolving back. These are not lightweight cameras. They are tanks, but they are amazing. RB is revolving back, so you can shoot 6x7 either portrait or landscape just by rotating the back. And if your camera's on a tripod, which is where 99.9% of these cameras spend their time, it is so much easier. The glass is amazing. Mamiya glass historically tends to be underpriced for what it delivers. And so the viewfinder, it's I'd say the waist level finder is the best I've seen in terms of a three-dimensional bright image to focus with. These are not expensive cameras. The great thing is you can use the RB glass on RZ cameras, but not backwards. So again, cheap, great results. The next best thing to shooting with a view camera, but the image is right side up, go for it.
So I was going to talk about the next camera, which is another Contax. Go figure. Now, this is kind of a special one to me. I've never shot it. I was actually told about it from a good friend of mine. I'll put a shout out for him, for Kelly Shane Fuller, who, yeah, I'm not going to get into how he got it, but he has it. It's a Contax AX. This thing is unreal. He shared with me what it can do, and what it can do is amazing. It has a autofocus film plane. So it doesn't matter what the register is for the lens to go to the film plane, it will focus that for you. It'll move it forward or back to give you the perfect focus every time. And it has both the Contax and Yashica mount. It's a really, really wicked system. I can't believe he's also told me, and I'll have to vouch for this because I've looked at Contax lenses, or not Contax lenses, but Contax cameras. The viewfinders are phenomenal. I've never seen a cleaner, brighter viewfinder in my life with any camera I've ever looked at.
Next up on the docket for me is the Bessa R rangefinder. It is a very compact camera. It does have a meter in it. It has a TTL, which is meters through the filters. It is very light. The lenses are remarkable. The pictures that come out of it, I've seen our co-host John Meadows, his photos. The pictures are just amazing. I really would recommend this camera. It's a great little camera to use. And if you're looking for a Bessa or a Fed, I would recommend the Bessa over the Fed, just for the looks mainly. It's a great camera. I recommend that you at least give it a try, and hopefully you'll buy one.
Okay, so next up on my list is the Crown Graphic. Now, this is the iconic press camera of the 1960s, and for me, it is what I recommend as a way to get into large format photography, because you don't have to worry about the focal plane shutter like you would on a speed graphic, which can be a bit finicky. Plus, you have access to a wide range of fantastic lenses. Accessories are super easy to find, and the cameras themselves are fairly cheap when compared to other things. It really is your gateway into large format. It gets you into the notion of it without having to worry about any sort of movement that you can get with the monorail or the field cameras. And you aren't breaking the bank buying one. In fact, you can probably find one with a lens and some film holders for about $200.
For my last camera, my back is still sore from talking about the RB67, RZ67. So I'm going to go with something light, portable, and a joy to use, and that is the Olympus Pen F half frame. You can also see the Olympus Pen FT half frame. These are beautiful cameras. They're great for like run and gun shooting. Lightweight. Everything about them just feels right when you use them. One thing I also like about them, the half frame, the default orientation is portrait as opposed to landscape. So if you're doing street photos of people, this is a natural to use. The cameras were very, very hot for collectors in the 70s. It's sort of eased off a bit now. So these aren't that expensive. Great camera, great glass. Give it a shot.
Okay, so last camera on my docket today is actually the one of the most well-known rangefinders on the planet. No, not a Leica. It is a well-known Leica copy from the KMZ plant in the Ukraine. Thank you, Alex. The Fed 2. This thing is absolutely wonderful to use. I've never had more joy using a rangefinder other than throw another one, than my Fed 2, at least with interchangeable ones. And the fact that it's an M39 lens, you've got the entire lineup of the Arsenal lenses, you've got the entire lineup of the KMZ lenses, plus you can use the Leica lenses, you can use the Voigtlander lenses. This thing, it's got so many accessories you can get for this thing, it's unreal. The Fed 2 had a whole bunch of different changes over its life, but ultimately, it is probably one of the most robust out of all the Fed models that I can think of, although there are some that don't like it, but hey, I say if you want a really, really cheap M39 rangefinder that is pretty fun to use with diopter correction, go for a Fed 2.
My last camera on my docket is definitely my favorite camera and most fun to use would be my Campbell Legend SC. It is definitely not the lightest camera in the world, I can tell you that, but it is definitely very fun to use. The pictures that come out of this thing is just, it's amazing. Different lenses, it can also do 4x5 as well as 8x10. It is something I really recommend. You guys really have to try. Even if you're not into large format photography, I just recommend taking that shot and just checking out your pictures after you're done. It will change your mind. I recommend it.
Okay, and last on my list is another Nikon. That is the Nikon F. That is the Nikon F3, and I wasn't originally going to put this on, but I decided to because this is probably one of my favorite cameras to run and gun with. It's not necessarily lightweight, but it is really easy to use. It's an aperture priority, and you throw on that motor drive, and the thing has beautiful balance. I can see why so many press photographers and professional photographers loved it. And the best part is that they can take a hit. They look great and they feel great in their hands, and you can probably find them for pretty cheap these days, and try to get one that's beat up because the brassing just looks fantastic. Okay, well, that was a bit of a rapid fire show, but I think the format worked really well. We came up with an absolute wonderful list without touching Leica once, and I am very grateful about that. So that will about wrap it up for this show. Join us again. We will be, of course, back in September with a regular show, and there will probably even be a lovely bonus episode at the beginning of September on film photography and photography education in general. That's it for me. I'm Alex Lux, signing out, feeling like I've just gone over the top.
And if you don't agree with any of the cameras or you want to add one, feel free, shoot us a line anytime.
This is John Meadows saying, if you see a camera and you want it, you need it.
This is Donna Bataxi, and if you haven't tried any of our cameras yet, I recommend you give them all a try.
And this is Michael Bataxi signing off, and yet another Bronica somehow has managed to fit in my door.